It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
I'm so thankful and happy that you joined me today on the Amber May Show. I had a request from one of the listeners to talk about a show such as what do we do in the economy we're facing right now? Because my listener wrote me in a frantic, and I wrote them back with all kinds of scriptures to back up don't fear. And so joining me today, you may have heard him, and I hope you have, Pastor Bob Bartlett from Family Affair Radio. He's on KXXT and KXCG Monday through Friday. And welcome to the program, and thank you for joining me, Pastor.
Thank you, Amber. It's so good to be here.
I love the ancient Israelite story, and
absolutely.
I love it because something got revealed to me 5 years ago when I was at a Seder at Jewish Voice. And God told me that Israel is parallel to America in so many ways. God gave them land so that they can worship him freely. God gave America to us so that we can worship him freely. Israel conquered nations on paper they should never have conquered.
Mm-hmm.
We conquered a nation on paper we should never have conquered.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
God told me 5 years ago that we're going to run into some really rough times because we need to repent as people. Most Christians as a whole, it's hard to tell a difference between them and non-believers. Their lifestyles, they look all the same. Yet they'll go to church on Sunday and praise God. God told me that if we don't repent, which is what we're told in Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name
right.
will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Okay, well, maybe we haven't done that because I was told this 5 years ago we're going to have some catastrophe to bring us to him.
Right.
Israel always had catastrophe come to them when they were following ways that seemed like the pagans. They would do their rituals to God, but outside of the temple, they would do whatever was pleasing to them. And when I read in Matthew chapter 5, it says, he causes the sun to rise on evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And when I read that, I think about if we follow the ways that God wants us to do and live the way God wants us to live and preach the holy gospel, which is a message of hope, especially in the time we're living in now. He blesses his people. And out of that blessing, unbelievers get blessed because of an overflow that he's giving to us.
Absolutely.
So when I think of how we follow pagan ways, and I mean pagan as unchurched people, people who don't believe in God, the book of Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to man, but at the end leads to destruction. So for the last several years, we've been following a lifestyle in a way that seemed right to us, but clearly it's not the right, because look where we're at right now.
You know, I was listening to the radio the other day, to secular radio the other day, and they were talking, one of the local talk stations, and they were talking, and this really struck me. They were saying maybe Madeline Murray, back in the 60s, did us a favor by taking prayer out of school, because if prayer was still in school today, with all of the multicultural leaders in America, all the religions that are allowed to practice in America, maybe in our public schools, there would be a Muslim cleric speaking, a Sikh cleric speaking, somebody, a Hindu preacher coming in and saying prayers. So they said maybe it's good that prayer was taken out of the school. But I thought just the reverse as I was listening to that. If we would have kept prayer in school and kept a strong Judeo-Christian ethic in school, we'd have been strong enough not to have allowed non-Judeo-Christian religion to influence our children. And so I believe in prayer. But let me tell you something, Amber. You brought up ancient Israel. Let me tell you what I believe, what my hope is, part of my hope, part of what I consider the revival that's coming. There are many theologians today who teach what I call replacement theology.
Right.
They say that the church has replaced what we call ancient Israel.
Right.
So that today the geopolitical, the socioeconomic entity on the Mediterranean beach called the State of Israel is just like any other nation.
Right.
Now, I believe that that Jewish people must be saved one at a time, just like Gentile, like Russians and Americans and Canadians. Uh-huh. They have to be saved one at a time. But I do not believe, and I emphasize this to your listeners, I do not believe the church, I am not a replacement theologian. I am a stand alongside theologian. Mm-hmm. I believe that we stand alongside the state of Israel. Everything Israel doesn't do is right. Everything America doesn't do is right. But that does not negate the fact that Israel, that the co-signer mm-hmm. to the state of Israel, when God gave that land to Abraham, God was the co-signer on that title deed. Mm-hmm. And I believe that as long as America honors and respects our relationship with Israel, we will remain in the center of God's attention. The minute we turn our back, and some of the things that our government's doing today is just a little scary. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't have a strong faith in God and a strong faith that Israel will never be eliminated from the face of the earth, never, never.
Yep.
Any more than the church will be eliminated. On this rock, I will build my church.
And the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen. And so I believe that part of the hope for tomorrow, and I get all excited about this, so forgive me for going on and on, but if we stand alongside Israel, because God has promised, they that bless Israel, Genesis 12, in blessing I will bless you that bless Israel,
and in cursing I will curse them that
curse Israel. And so as long as we will stand in alignment and stand alongside the state of Israel, I believe the blessing of God will remain on America and any nation that stands alongside
Israel.
And
we are to provoke them to jealousy.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
the whole thing.
Yes.
He needed us to help them get their eyes uncovered to the true Messiah that was born 2,000 years ago.
And thousands are receiving
yes,
Christ.
Yes, it's amazing.
Now, not just in Israel, but around the world.
Right.
In Russia, in South America, the Jewish Voice that you mentioned a minute ago, they're having these tremendous festivals around. See, that's why, guys, I know that revival is in the air. Don't be discouraged. Don't let your current circumstances pull you down. You need to listen to the Amber May program whenever it's on, because she brings hope to your spirit. You may have a hard time financially. You may wake up with flat tires on your car. You may struggle to pay your light bill at the house, but that doesn't negate the fact that the best is yet to come.
And Pastor Bob, you know, I feel the same way about, you know, revival. And if we can see how revival takes place, we can go back to the book of Acts.
Right.
What did they do in the book of Acts that created a revival, Pastor?
They preached the uncompromised gospel.
That's all they did.
In Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were mm-hmm. all in one accord in one place.
Yep.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And the scripture goes on to say that St. Peter, later on, there was such a tremendous visitation of God, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, that it attracted a huge crowd there in the temple. And when Peter and 119 other people that were in that upper room became aware that there was a great crowd outside, he went out and began to preach the first sermon that was ever preached, because the church was born on the day of
That's
Pentecost.
Right.
In the fire. You know, there was fire that fell at Mount Sinai when the Ten Commandments were received.
That's right.
And hallelujah. The fire fell again in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem, 33 AD, in the land of Israel. The church was founded.
And remember, in the ancient Israelites in the desert, it was fire by night and cloud by day. And I had I talked about June Volk a couple of weeks ago on my program. She wrote a book about how God delivered her time and time again. And you can find more information on junevolk.com. And the name of her book is The God Who Answers by Fire.
Mm.
So it's amazing. Now, Pastor Bob, back to Acts. When they preach the gospel to people and tell them that Jesus died for them, hundreds came to know their Savior that day.
3,000 were saved even on the day of Pentecost. They baptized 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. That had to take 2 or 3 days to do. And then later, another 5,000 came to know the Lord. So within weeks after the birth of the church, the membership swelled to 8,120 members.
That's right.
And let me tell you something that I think is really necessary for us to learn. Before all that happened, Jesus, after he resurrected from the dead, on the 40th day after his resurrection, he went out from the city of Jerusalem toward the Mount of Olives. He went down through the Kedron Valley, and there were, the Bible says there were about 500 people that followed him out. In fact, Corinthians 15 says he was seen above about 500 of the brethren, and that was the day that he ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. What was the very last thing Jesus told that crowd of 500 people before he ascended into heaven? The last thing he said to them was, go back to Jerusalem and tarry until you receive the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Now, the last four or five verses of St. Luke chapter 24 talk about the promise of the Father. This was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He told that to 500 people. He commanded them to return to Jerusalem and stay until they received the promise of the Father. How many went back to Jerusalem and waited for those 10 days? 120 people. Do you know that from that point on, there's not another word recorded about the 380 who did not listen to the voice of the Lord? They drift into historical oblivion, even though they risked their life to follow him to the Mount of Olives. They risked their reputation, their fortunes, their future. They followed this risen Messiah who had the whole government shaken up, the Roman government, the Jewish religion. They were all shook up because Jesus kept his word and rose from the dead. Then he said to 500 people, go back to the upper room. Just 120 obeyed. And that's the group, the charter members of this church, that God tells the story of redemption through that 120 on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, 33 AD. That's when it started. And what did they do? They turned their world upside down simply by the proclamation of the gospel. Guys, there's power in the word of God. Poder en la palabra de Dios. There's power in the word of God. And as long as we honor that word and preach that word, there will be revival.
That's exactly it. I mean, I'm going to throw that question out to you. What's the worst thing that could happen if you tell someone that Jesus loved them and died for them?
Really?
You're going to change their world.
Right.
Imagine if you started that revival, if each person decided to tell one person about their saving power of Jesus Christ, and that one person accepted Jesus, which told one person. If you don't think things are going to happen, you're deceived. We look to the government, but where do we need to look for? What does Psalm say? I lift my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And if any of you guys would like to contact me, you can always write to me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. That's P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. You can always find me on my website, AmberMayShow.com. And hey, check me out on the website. Go to my podcast, because now you can take the Amber May Show everywhere you go on your smartphone. So download my app right from my website. And hey, if you want to spread the word about the show, go ahead and purchase a bumper sticker. Put on the back of your car so people wonder, who's Amber May? And they'll look me up and they'll hear this encouraging word that's blessed you. Hey, I want to hear from you. So if you have any show ideas for me or have any questions or anything, send them my way. And you can always email me at amber@ambermayshow.com. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.